Welcome to Light of Christ Radio. Today, you're joining Pastors Tom and Paula Graves as they again share the good news found in God's Word. Each time you open your Bible, it's a chance to learn about the Lord and an opportunity to grow in your faith. We're excited you've chosen to join us for that time today. At the end of today's broadcast, you'll hear more about the ministry of Light of Christ and how you can get in contact with us if you have any questions or comments to share. We enjoy connecting with our listeners. You'll also find out more about this ministry and how you can hear more audio messages from this series and others. Now, let's get ready to connect with the Lord and join Pastors Tom and Paula for Light of Christ Radio.
Welcome to Light of Christ Radio with Tom and Paula Graves.
And this is where we tell a story of the Bible and let it spark some conversation.
We are sponsored by Trinity Church of Golden, Illinois. To learn more about us, go to lightofchristradio.com. That's lightofchristradio.com.
Today, we continue our series For Such a Time as This with the story our series is named for from Esther 4.
Well, Paula, as we begin our conversation today, let's look at the context of our story.
Xerxes is the king of Persia, and he had banned his queen because of her insubordination. And so to replace her, there was an elaborate beauty pageant for the next queen.
Well, Esther, a Jew and cousin of Mordecai, found the favor of the king, and she became the queen.
Now, for Mordecai and Esther, all was going well until Haman became second in command to the king.
And Mordecai refused to bow down to him. And as a result, Haman decided to kill all the Jews.
So using his leverage with the king, Haman issued a decree calling for the destruction of all Jews on a specific date 11 months in the future, which brings us to a story from the Word of God.
When Mordecai learned what had been done, he ripped his clothes to shreds and put on sackcloth and ashes. Then he went out in the city streets, crying loudly and bitterly. He came only as far as the king's gate, for no one dressed in sackcloth was allowed to enter the king's gate.
And as the king's order was posted in every province, there was loud lament among the Jews, fasting, weeping, and wailing, and most of them stretched out on sackcloth and ashes.
Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her. The queen was stunned. She sent fresh clothes to Mordecai so he could take off his sackcloth, but he would accept them.
Now, Esther called for Hatach, and one of the royal eunuchs the king had assigned to wait on her, and told him to go to Mordecai and get the full story of what was happening. So Hatach went to Mordecai in the town square in front of the king's gate.
Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him. He also told him the exact amount of money that Haman had promised to deposit in the royal bank to finance the massacre of the Jews. Mordecai also gave him a copy of the bulletin that had been posted in Susa ordering the massacre so he could show it to Esther when he reported back with instructions to go to the king and intercede and plead with him for her people.
Now, Hatach came back and told Esther everything Mordecai had said. And Esther talked it over with Hatach and then sent back this message to Mordecai. Everyone who works for the king here, and even people out in the provinces, know that there is a single fate for every man or woman who approaches the king without being invited: death. The one exception is if the king extends his gold scepter, then he or she may live. And it's been 30 days since I've been invited into the king.
When Hatach told Mordecai what Esther had said, Mordecai sent her this message. Don't think that just because you live in the king's house, you're the one Jew who will get out of this alive. If you persist in staying silent at a time like this, help and deliverance will arrive for the Jews from someplace else, but you and your family will be wiped out. Who knows? Maybe you were made queen for such a time as this.
Now Esther sent back her answer to Mordecai. Go and get all the Jews living in Susa together. Fast for me. Don't eat or drink for 3 days, either day or night. I and my maids will fast with you. If you will do this, I'll go to the king, even though it's forbidden. If I die, I die.
Mordecai left and carried out Esther's instructions.
And this is a story from the Word of God.
Well, Paula, as we begin our talk today, we want to talk about sackcloth and ashes and why that's important in our story.
Well, at the time, sackcloth and ashes were, it was a custom, and it basically demonstrated inner emotions, usually of grief or repentance. Now, sackcloth was like burlap. It was rough. It was a fabric made from goat's hair, and ashes represented desolation and ruin.
So when we look at the book of Esther, it never mentions prayer, but spiritually, prayer usually accompanies wearing sackcloth and ashes. So even though it doesn't mention it, they're just not on a diet, so to speak.
Right. I think because of it is scripture and we can use other scripture to interpret it, we can be pretty sure that these Jews were praying. Now, when you wore sackcloth, there was probably three different types of prayer. The first one was a prayer of grief. We see this in Genesis when Jacob thought Joseph had died. He puts on sackcloth and prays.
And also, there's a prayer of repentance. What the people of Nineveh did when Jonah preached the coming destruction, if they didn't repent. And then there's the prayer of supplication or cry for help. And Daniel did this as he prayed for mercy for the nation of Israel.
So I think it's really interesting, Tom, that when Mordecai heard the decree, he didn't just pretend nothing was wrong. He didn't say everything was fine. He, at that point, didn't care if others knew he was a Jew. He had kind of hidden it to this point, but he demonstrated by his wearing of sackcloth and ashes that he was a Jew, and this was drawing attention to the injustice of this decree.
And the Jews were very, I guess you would say, desperate at this time. Mm-hmm. And so in this midst of desperation, God really does some good things, and that's bringing their faith out in the open. Maybe they were on the fence or trying to hide it. But now it's like we have to admit that we're Jews.
Right. And I think those Jews were praying all three types of those prayers. They were grieving at the thought of all this death. They wanted to repent. What had they done wrong that would cause this? And I think the cry for help was pretty evident. It's like they didn't have any recourse. And so I think for us, they're a model that I think we, like you said, need to stand for truth, even if others are going to make fun of us or make a scene at what we believe.
And we, as Paul said, we need to stand up for our faith. And prayer is really the foundation as we think of our story. Paul writes in Philippians 4:6, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done."
Yeah, and I think Paul goes on to say that when you do this, you'll experience God's peace, and his peace will guard our hearts and minds. And so prayer is so foundational as we struggle in desperate times. And I think it's interesting that we know that we can pray, that God welcomes our burdens, if you will, unlike these Persian kings. Xerxes lived in a bubble. It was basically an artificial paradise that sheltered him from the realities of life.
Somewhat like leaders today are a little bit sheltered, but even more so. And Mordecai, he couldn't enter the palace dressed in sackcloth.
Mm-hmm. Because Xerxes didn't want to know anything sad. He didn't want to know about the common people's problems. And so I don't even think he understood that there was this decree against the Jews, because Haman had never named the people group that he was going to destroy.
Yeah, so Haman really used stealth. He says this people group isn't keeping the king's laws, but he really didn't spell out it was the Jews. But so anyway, as our story unfolds, again, God's people begin to pray and fast.
And so even though Xerxes may have been isolated from the people, the Lord God was not. Proverbs 15:3 says, "The Lord is watching everywhere and keeping his eyes on both the evil and the good."
And also we look at Hebrews chapter 4 in the New Testament where God says, we can come right to his throne of grace. He says, boldly come. Mm-hmm. So maybe you're in a situation today where you're kind of hesitant to pray or ask God. And God says, you can come, you're a child of God, you can come boldly to my throne.
Right. And as we go boldly, we can be assured that unlike King Xerxes, God sees everything that's happening. He understands us and he will listen to our petition, because even in our struggles, we can depend on Jesus for strength.
Yeah, Jesus tells us in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls."
So, Tom, why would the God of the universe even want to do this for us? Why would he even care?
Well, I think he's the good shepherd. He loves and cares for us. He hears our prayers. You know, sometimes as people, we think, well, I'm just one person. I'm maybe insignificant. But that's not true. God died for you, took all of your sins, and he loves you and wants to hear your prayers.
Yeah, 1 Peter 5:7 says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. And many times the way we give our cares to God is to intercede for ourselves and for others.
You know, intercession is really important, and the Bible talks about that in Ezekiel. It says, I searched for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy the land, but I found no one. So now I'll have to pour out my fury on them, consuming them with fire of my anger. God doesn't say I'm looking for 1,000 or 10 or 20. He says, I'm looking for one.
Right. And so we know that if no one intercedes, that God is forced to judge. And as we look at our situation in our story today, really the only recourse the Jews had against this decree, which was irrevocable, was to pray. And thank goodness that God allows us to pray.
And in our story, it wasn't just one or two people. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looked like people throughout the empire were praying. So you could really see the work of God throughout the empire, really kind of building up people's faith, enabled them to pray and look to God because only God was going to save them. So they had to be dependent on God.
Yeah, I think Paul tells his mentor Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:1, he says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people, ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give them thanks for them. Because I think so much of the time, unless we're desperate, we just think about ourselves and not others.
So again, it's a little bit of revival going on with the Jews when you think of what's going on in the empire. And also, you know, we're kind of in a desperate time in the world today.
Right.
And God's getting our attention that we need to be praying and fasting for our leaders and that God would move in our world.
And I think when we pray for others, that we build bridges between God and them. So the question becomes, will you stand in the gap in prayer for others?
Well, Paula, we need to take a break here. If you're hearing this on the radio, let the station manager know you like our program.
If you're listening via podcast, like and share us.
We'll have more from today's episode of the Light of Christ radio show in just a moment. If you'd like to learn more about this program, visit our website at lightofchristradio.com. You can also continue studying this topic in our daily blog devotional. Check out our Facebook page for more information. Now, here are Pastors Tom and Paula with the conclusion of today's episode.
Well, welcome back, and thanks for staying with us. Paul and I were just discussing when God's people intercede.
And I think we see God using an obscure person here to enable this intercession to happen. We learn and meet the eunuch Hatach here, and he was in the king's palace watching over the women. Even though he's probably a Persian, probably an idol worshiper, we see God using him.
Which really gives us insight into God. He just doesn't use, you know, super people that are super people of faith. God can use anybody. And who knows if this person, what was going on in his life or how this affected him.
Right, because there's this situation. If you think about it, Esther probably didn't know about the latest political happenings because she was isolated. So she wouldn't have known about the decree to destroy the Jews. Now, Mordecai was basically in mourning and sackcloth and ashes, so he couldn't get past the king's gate, and he would have been unable to get a message to Esther personally.
So it's interesting God has this person attached. They're just probably at the right time. And again, God used him to be a messenger. Mm-hmm. And again, he acted like a go-between between Esther and Mordecai. And Mordecai told him exactly what was going on.
Yeah.
And the money that Haman had was going to give to the treasury. And he was telling all that. And then he was telling that to Esther.
Right. Because even Mordecai even gives Hatach a copy of the decree. Now, we don't know if Esther could read or not, but it appears that Hatach could. So he could read it and explain it to Esther so she would understand the situation.
Because, again, Mordecai wanted Esther to go before the king and really to ask for some help against this whole situation.
So we see Hatach playing a vital role here. If Mordecai couldn't have been able to communicate with Esther, she wouldn't have been able to plead the Jews' case before the king.
So you begin to see God's hand in our story in lots mm-hmm. of different ways. Even though God's not mentioned in our story, you see God is kind of at work all over in this text.
And I think there's an interesting application for for us here today, we may not be real popular, we may not be influential or a big wig in society, but God still wants to use each of us. He can use obscure people. And Scripture tells us that the world may call God's plan foolish, but it's wiser than any human plans.
And that's what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, as Paula was talking about. Instead, God has chosen the things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they're wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. So anyway, it's just the opposite of how the world thinks is how God thinks.
Yeah, because Paul goes on to tell us that God chooses these things, the despised things, and uses them to bring what the world considers important down to nothing. And as a result, we can't boast in ourselves. We can only boast in God.
And this Esther, this young lady, it's really interesting that I think she is there for such a time as this, mm-hmm. as we are. Mm-hmm. You know, God has placed you and I here at this certain time in history to carry out his plan and his work.
And we can see it from our perspective in the story. But I think at the time, I don't think Esther realized how the Lord was really using her. And God used Mordecai to awaken Esther to God's plan for her, it really to help her fill God's destiny for her.
Yeah, she may be in wondering, it doesn't say, but she may be in wondering, why has God placed me here? What am I doing? What's mm-hmm. this all about? And all of a sudden, Mordecai has this message through Hattach that's like, oh, now I see what God is doing in my life.
Because God had created Esther and placed her in a particular place in history to make a difference. And you can be assured that God has also created you and placed you in a specific place in history.
You know, that really speaks to each person is significant.
Mm-hmm.
Because no matter who you think you are, God loves you. And again, our prayers are significant. It says in James, the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective.
And God isn't caught off guard by the things that are happening in your life. He's not surprised. And so the question becomes, is the Lord awakening you to his plan right now? And are you alive now for such a time as this?
Well, I think the answer to that question is yes. Mm-hmm. Each person is alive for such a time as this.
And I think how Esther felt when she realized God's plan for her was bigger than she ever thought. And God's plans for each of us are beyond what we could hope or dream, too.
You know, I think we get that aha. It's like, wow, God really cares about me. And God's got some amazing things for my life that he's working through me.
And sometimes he's working, but we just don't understand in our human brains. And so as believers, we know we're God's kids. We can be assured that the Holy Spirit will continue to guide us through these difficult times and help us fulfill the destiny God has for each of us.
And really to make righteous decisions,
mm-hmm.
To make the difference between, you know, going down the narrow road, that's God's path, or the wide road of the world.
Right, because we're sinful, we tend to wander away from God. I mean, we tend to seek the easy way, the comfortable way. But when we know this and realize what's happening, we can surrender ourselves to God. And you can ask him. We can be determined to do what's right in his eyes.
And oftentimes we need God's help even to surrender.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lord, I need your help to surrender because I'm selfish. I want to do what I want to do. But God answers our prayers and he knows we're weak and we do need his help to surrender.
And I think he can use other people to help us do that. We see in our story, Esther told Mordecai she was reluctant to go before the king because without being asked, she was risking death. And then that's when Mordecai asks this question. It's like, who knows? Maybe that's why you're where you are. And so Esther had a choice to make. And as a result, she came up with a plan.
Well, I think all of us have choices to make. We do every day. And we have a choice to make righteous decisions or not. And sometimes mm-hmm. they certainly aren't on the scale of our story, but they can be on a small scale. But it really gives kind of a test of our character.
Right. And I think we see God's hand in this, too, because the thing she does is she asks Mordecai and the rest of his friends there in the local city to fast. And she and her maids are going to fast for 3 days. And then she'll go before the king, because I think Esther's righteous decision was the first step in the Lord using her to save the fellow Jews.
And, you know, that's really, again, that's discernment from God. It's relying on God's strength and mm-hmm. courage, which she does. And it, you know, not only it affects her, but everybody around her.
Right. And I think it's the same for us, that God's word, they knew they had, there was a covenant that God would protect his people so they could knew the character of God. And God's word gives us strength to make the right choices. Paul tells us in Galatians 6:9, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up.
Yeah, we don't want to give up because we're in a battle.
Oh, yeah.
We're in a spiritual battle. You may not realize it. You may think you're on a playground. Well, you're not. You're in this spiritual battle. And in the world we live in today, this battle is almost on the surface.
Right. Many times it's been hidden, but I think more and more evil is being revealed. And if we look at our story, I think we can say that Haman was just a tool in the hand of Satan, because we know Jesus was the Messiah and he would come through the line of the Jews. So if there were no Jews, there wouldn't be any Jesus. And I'm sure this is why Satan was attacking the Jews.
Yeah, and we see the same thing happening in the story of Noah. When you think of God brought that flood, Noah may have been wondering like, Lord, the whole world is like evil. What are you going to do? And of course, God intervenes in a supernatural way through the flood and washes those people away and restarts with Noah.
Right, because Noah, as he was building the ark, was warning the people. They didn't listen. And so that's why God had to judge them. But God protected Noah even when he had to judge the rest of the world.
Yeah, and light always overcomes darkness. And again, we see this battle going on. Jesus won this battle on the cross where he defeated sin, death, and the devil. Mm-hmm. But also in Revelation 20, verse 10, we see the end of the enemy, Satan. He's thrown in the lake of fire. That's his end. So right. God writes the end even before it happens.
Right. So we know that God does win, that there's a battle. Obviously, there's can be injuries in the battle, but that we can be assured that God wins. So Tom, what is our part in this battle?
Well, our first part is to become a person of faith. Mm-hmm. And if you've never placed your faith in Jesus, he's calling you today to place your faith in Christ as your Savior. And then there's all kinds of things we can do as believers. We can pray, we can intercede, we can do lots of things that really help build up the body and make a difference in building the kingdom.
And know, as you begin to follow Jesus and trust him as your Savior, that he will give you the promise of eternity through the Holy Spirit inside you. And if you listen, if you take time and ask the Lord, he will guide you through difficult situations. He'll give you wisdom that you don't have. He'll give you strength and encouragement that you need. And so, like Esther, we don't always know what trials await us. But, I mean, when we follow Jesus, good things come.
Well, Paula, as we end today, God has placed Esther as queen years before the decree to destroy the Jews was made.
In a desperate and confusing time, Mordecai urged her to act, even at personal peril.
Esther realized she was facing death, either by decree or by the king.
But she decided to take a chance by pleading for mercy in front of the king.
God has placed each of us for such a time as this. Even if we don't think we are important, we have a part to play in God's plan.
When it's confusing, we must depend on the Holy Spirit to guide us and help us make bold decisions.
Well, that's all the time we have today for Light of Christ Radio. If you'd like to dig deeper into today's story, we have a free resource for you. Go to our webpage, lightofchristradio.com.
That's lightofchristradio.com, and click on videos. This will take you to our YouTube page. Our videos are designed for small group discussion. They contain the context and the story as a movie.
Instructions and questions are found in the More section below the video. Light of Christ Radio is sponsored by Trinity Church of Golden, Illinois.
Be blessed.
This is the Light of Christ.
Thanks for joining Pastors Tom and Paula Graves for today's Light of Christ Radio. We pray that you've learned something new today, and that each edition you join us for brings you closer and closer to a new life that's only found in Jesus. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. You'll find a link to that on the homepage of our website, lightofchristradio.com. That's lightofchristradio.com. We hope you'll share this with your friends and family too. In fact, why not make these topics a source of Bible study for a small group? We have additional material available to facilitate these kinds of discussions. You'll find short videos on YouTube that capture the context of each teaching, as well as a list of questions and icebreakers. To access these resources, just search for LOC Radio on YouTube or check out our Facebook radio page. We're adding more and more videos all the time. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss a new upload of Light of Christ Radio. Would you like to connect with us? You can by visiting our website, lightofchristradio.com, or find us on Facebook and send us a message. We would love to connect with you and hear how God is using this program to speak to you and those around you. Again, that's lightofchristradio.com. Well, our time with you is coming to a close, but we hope you'll join us again for Light of Christ Radio.
This is the light of Christ. Who needs a hand, a meal, or a word? Who needs love touched or reassured? Like the sun rises and the darkness disappears, a need that's met as Christ is shown.